You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker, and not with me today is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. He is on vacation. He had a previously scheduled vacation coming up, so he's not here to preview the game with me. I'm back. After a work trip and a bout with COVID, to be fair, the bout with COVID is still ongoing, but I am here to deliver the game to you, to deliver this preview of the Patriots game to you today. But I have a very special guest joining me. I'm not doing it by myself. I am very, very pleased to be joined by DolphinsTalk.com's own and the a senior editor with the 33rdteam.com. You know him very well if you've been around Dolphins Talk for any period of time. He is, of course, Dante Colonelli. Dante, welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show.
What's up? That's the best intro I've ever gotten on the Dolphins Talk Network. We're have to get Mike and Tom start doing that for me. That was great.
Hey, you know, I'm happy to set the bar high for everybody, especially as I'm a little bit under the weather right now. So, you know, there's no excuses. No excuses. So now I've been under the weather and I've delivered that great intro. So now they're going to have to live up to that anytime you're on any show from here on out. But seriously, thank you for being here. How's it going?
It's going good, man. I'm excited and get to talk some ball. We got a nice matchup this week. Potential sweep of that team up north, that other team up north. There's a couple.
One of those teams.
Yeah, one of those teams up north. So I'm excited, man. It's awesome. This has been a really cool season to write and cover about. I was at the Eagles game. I went to the game last week, Sunday Night Football. So, you know, feeling good still. Still feeling good.
Good. I'm glad that you're still feeling good. So you're not on fraud watch right now? Is that?
Absolutely not. No, they played fine. They played okay. Yeah. You know, it wasn't like, you know, if they would have got blown out, that's a different conversation. They played all right, and it wasn't their night. It happens.
Yeah, and that's what happens, right? And it's one game in October, and we've said this a million times, and so many people have said it the other way. You know, when the Dolphins go out and have an excellent game in October, they go, well, it's one game in October. And, I mean, I get it. I get the overarching narrative that the Dolphins are you know, still have a lot to prove. And it's true. They do still have a lot to prove, but it's also they've only played seven games and the time to prove everything is not right now in week eight. The time to prove things is when we get down to crunch time and we're going to get there eventually, but we're not there yet. All you can do, this is a week by week league. We've just seen the 49ers lose two straight games to the Cleveland Browns and to Kirk Cousins on national television, primetime. Yeah. Kirk Cousins beat the San Francisco 49ers. So this is a very week-to-week league, and I think this year you're seeing that more than you've ever seen it before, if that's safe to say. So I think we can relax a little bit on fraud watch, but it's true. We're here to talk about Dolphins-Patriots. I actually just got finished with a rewatch of the game in week two that the Dolphins won 24-17, and I think it's safe to say that it's going to be a little bit different kind of matchup this time around, but how different? Well, we're going to get into that here on the show today. But before we get any further along the line, a reminder to you, if you're not doing so already, to make sure you're following us on Twitter. I am at Amplified to Rock. He is at Dante Colonelli. That's D-A-N-T-E-C-O-L-L-I-N-E-L-L-I. I I had to spell it out because I know that some people are listening to this in audio form and can't see your name up on the screen.
I'm aggressively Italian, if you couldn't tell by that last
name. You are aggressively Italian.
Yeah, it goes through my entire family. It's everybody. Sunday is spaghetti and meatball day, gravy, that's
fantastic. I love that it's gravy. That's super Italian, just like my wife's family is. Part of my wife's family is very aggressively Italian as well. So the Bartasono side of the family. So
there we go.
We're all wine drinkers and pasta eaters over here.
There we go.
Fantastic. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. And of course, you can download, rate, review, and subscribe to the Same Old Dolphin Show. Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere you get your podcasts. And we invite you to make sure that you are subscribed to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Like this video. Go ahead. Smash that little thumbs up button there. We appreciate it very much. If you would go ahead and do that, helps out the show. Leave a comment if you're watching live or if you're watching on demand. We appreciate it. Helps the algorithm, actually. So like the video, comment below. Also, shout out to everybody watching on the I'm a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page. And make sure you're visiting DolphinStock.com each and every day. It's your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins. And including earlier today on Thursday, Mike of Dolphins Talk sat down with the Ricky Williams and did about a 25-minute conversation about Ricky Williams, wide-ranging conversation about all kinds of things, including, believe it or not, the Miami Dolphins Ring of Honor. So check out that video. Check out that interview between Mike and Ricky Williams on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. It'll also be available in podcast form. And of course, you'll be able to find it right over on DolphinsTalk.com. So Dante, we turn our attention now to week 8, right? The Dolphins came up short in Philadelphia. Tough game. But thanks to an assist from these very same New England Patriots, remained a game ahead of the Buffalo Bills in first place in the AFC East. So now the Dolphins come back home, and they have this game against the New England Patriots. And it's a New England Patriots team that I think before that game against Buffalo, a lot of Miami Dolphins fans might have been able to look at and go, I don't know that there's a whole lot to be worried about here. I think this is a probably chalk this up as an easy dub for the Dolphins. But now that we're here, and now that the Patriots have defeated the Buffalo Bills, it's one of those things that I think as a fan, it makes you need to take that extra step back and go, okay, well, hold on. Let's look at this here, because I think as much as a lot of us are more than pleased to see Buffalo in a little bit of, be out of sorts right now, we also have to take a look at what did these Patriots do to defeat the Bills? And is that something that is going to translate to this game up against the Dolphins? So, the way that we do things typically when we look at these games, Dante, is that we look at what the Dolphins are going to need to do on both sides of the ball to defeat their opponent. And as we evaluate these New England Patriots, I think the first place to look is the offensive side of the ball for the Dolphins. Dolphins offense versus Patriots defense. And I guess any conversation that we're going to have about the Dolphins offense versus the Patriots defense has to be led with the fact that we don't know as of Thursday whether or not Tyreek Hill is going to play on Sunday. Now, we heard that on Wednesday, Tyreek didn't practice. He was reported to have a hip injury. He was back at practice on Thursday, practiced in a limited capacity. And after practice was over in the locker room, told reporters that he's good. He plans to play. But the other thing that we've learned about this Dolphins coaching staff is that they are very cautious when it comes to injuries, and they are going out of their way to protect players from themselves. We understand that Xavier Howard and Connor Williams have been trying to get back into action, and the coaching staff has held them out because they don't want them to come back in and have their injuries regress. So Tyreek says he's good to go. Are you convinced?
Convinced? Oh, I think he'll play. I really do. I think it would almost be like really like weird if he didn't play now, right? Because then the conversation is like, well, the player went out and told every reporter, and honestly, it would not shock me if Tyreek Hill did this on purpose either, where he was just like, no, I'm playing, guys. And Mike McDaniel's like, I guess he's playing now. So I would be pretty surprised if he didn't play. Hill did not look hindered at any point during the Eagles game to me. I watched that game both live in the stands and also like three times on video. So I didn't see any problems, but again, I'm not a doctor. I'm hardly a football analyst. So I don't want to overstep my bounds, but I think Hill will play. I'd be pretty surprised if he didn't. I don't think you come out and make that strong of a statement if you're not going to play. Typically, players will come out and they say, oh, you know, I feel good, but we'll see, you know, but I'm going to do a warm up, blah, blah, blah. I think with Hill just coming out and saying, look, like, I'm good to go, I'm going to play, I think that being that adamant about it, I'd be shocked if he wasn't out there.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where I sit right now. But I'm also in that place where you never know. You never know with this coaching staff, especially if it is a sort of soft tissue issue. We know that they've been very, very cautious about that. And I guess speaking of soft tissue issues, that brings us to the next question, is whether or not Connor Williams is going to go on Sunday. Because what we've learned now is that Isaiah Wynn is going to be out long term. Possibly may not return this season. Like, it sounds like it's a long road to recovery for Isaiah Wynn. This is not a quick, you know, 4 weeks on the IR and he's back at it. It sounds like he's going to be out for a while. And what we saw was that the absence of Isaiah Wynn and Connor Williams had pretty disastrous, well, not disastrous, but it was pretty bad implications for the Dolphins offensive line in that game. We saw Kendall Lamb take a big step back in his performance, now having two unfamiliar bodies next to him. Not only was he without Connor Williams, he had Liam Eichenberg at center, and then Lester Cotton comes in at guard. So you just had a number of problems. And so that brought back, you know, we saw a drop off in Kendall Lamb's effectiveness as well. And so knowing that the Patriots are a stronger defensive team, does that provide Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins coaching staff the impetus to go, you know what, I know that we've been kind of holding Connor Williams out for a long time and we want to protect him from himself, but, you know, do as they are making their calculations, does this play into it and go, actually, you know what, we kind of need to get Connor back in there so that he can make sure that this offensive line that is still got a lot of pieces that are not normally where they are, to improve that communication and get that offensive line back to at least the level where the Dolphins can hopefully establish a ground game against the Patriots?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I would think probably that won't factor into it. If we look at what Mike McDaniel has done to handle injuries in the past, I think it's going to be a very black and white line for him. It's going to be either you're good enough to play. And again, that doesn't necessarily mean that every player has to be 100%, but McDaniel's going to look at this. He's going to say, look, you're either healthy enough to play or you're not. There's no like, we're going to push it because it's the Patriots. If you were going to push it, I would have pushed it last week, because the Eagles' interior defensive line is a bunch of mammoth people with huge strength and speed. The Patriots are a good defensive team. Their defensive line does not even compare to the Eagles' defensive line. Jalen Carter is going to be an all-pro. Jordan Davis is very good at football. I could keep going. They got like 7-8 dudes that they rotate in and out of there that are very good. And I can tell you, as somebody who spends a lot of time creating content with former NFL coaches as my day job, like, they don't think that way. They really don't. It's either you're healthy, you're good enough to play, or you're not. And it would really surprise me if that was the terminating factor. I think you'd have to think that Williams, now basically 3 weeks removed, should be healthy enough to play. But again, I don't think they're going to push it just because it's the Patriots. They're too cautious.
And he's been certainly chomping at the bit to try to get back in there, has been the reports, is that he's been saying he wants to go. And the Dolphins have been kind of protecting him from himself. So I guess we'll see whether or not he's back to himself and able to get back in there on Sunday. I'll say this, the Dolphins could certainly use him this Sunday. So assuming the Dolphins get Tyreek Hill back and he plays, and they do get Connor Williams back, or and even if they don't get him back, we've got to look at how the Dolphins are going to attack this Patriots defense. Because in looking back at that game in week two, the Patriots kind of dropped three safeties and they said to the Dolphins, you're not going to beat us over the top. And in fact, the Dolphins did not try to do that at all. Right, I mean, can't say at all, but there were two passes that I counted in that game where it looked like the Dolphins tried to go over the top. One was a successful pass to Jalen Waddle, I believe it was in the second half. And the other was Tua trying to go deep to Tyreek Hill. He underthrew the pass. It got picked off. And that was when the Patriots came in and closed it to a one-score game. And or actually, no, I take that back. The game, the Patriots had already closed it to a one score game. Tua throw that interception. And then the actual, the response from the defense after that was really, really great. They shut down the Patriots, punted the ball away. But regardless, it was those were the only two times that the Dolphins really tried to get aggressive and go over the top of that Patriots defense, a defense that was set up specifically to keep everything in front of them. But what we saw in that game in week two was that in the first half in particular, when the Dolphins were patient and played within themselves and just said, here's what the Patriots are giving us, let's just take it. And you saw a lot of sideline slants and you saw a lot of quick short passes, a lot of the inventive run game that the Dolphins were establishing. They were able to move the ball pretty efficiently. And you saw a lot of like what we've seen from the Dolphins in like the last couple of years, actually, which is just, we are going to just be patient and we're going to, you know, put a nice long drive together. And there weren't really a ton of those big explosive chunk plays. There were a handful of them, but most of them came off of screen passes or runs and things of that nature. It was not a lot of big deep balls like we've seen a lot of this season. So I guess the key is in this game, now, are the Patriots going to be able to successfully keep the top on the Dolphins offense again, knowing that they're now without Matthew Judon, they're without Christian Gonzalez. Those are two vital pieces. They've brought in J.C. Jackson from L.A., and J.C. Jackson is somebody that you immediately want to say, well, J.C. Jackson was burnt to a crisp in week one, but he was largely burnt to a crisp in week one because Brandon Staley put him in terrible positions in that game. And he's now playing under Bill Belichick, somebody who is going to be a little bit smarter about how he arranges his defensive chess pieces in this game. So how do you figure how do you figure the Patriots are going to attack the Dolphins? Do you think they're going to largely keep things intact the way they did in week two, where they were relatively successful? Or do you think that they're going to mix things up? And if so, how do the Dolphins attack this Patriots D?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think they're going to keep things relatively similar only because the advantage that the Dolphins have against every single team in the league, regardless of scheme, players, whatever, is that they're faster than you. We saw it last week, right? The Eagles tried to double Tyreek Hill, and he just ran by two people and it was still a touchdown, right? If you're a defensive coordinator, I mean, I would have slammed the tablet on the ground if I'm Sean Desai in Philadelphia last week, right? So like you can do all those things and they'll still outrun you. So if I'm the Patriots, if I'm Bill Belichick, I'm going to put three safeties back there again, because there's a chance that Tyreek Hill will run by them, because there always is, but there is a significantly lower chance if you have more people back there that Tyreek Hill will run by them. And you don't want to lose that way. And I remember when I wrote my All-22 breakdown on DolphinsTalk.com, by the way, for that game, one of the things that I was happy to see from Tua early and often in that game was his willingness to throw the ball into the flat, take the check down, pick up 4 to 6 yards, because, you know, everybody looks at the three safety defense and they go, oh, well, there's three guys deep. And no, there's not. Somebody stands in the middle of the field in what we call a robber roll, and they're trying to take away those middle of the field bang posts and crossers that the Dolphins just spam on teams all the way down the field all game who are bad, right? If you play primary man coverage against the Dolphins, they're going to spam the same three routes on you all game and go for 400 yards, the Broncos. So like that's the Patriots are not going to let them do that. And so they're going to put three safeties back there. They're going to drop one into that robber role that I just talked about. And they're going to try and be physical with their corners on the outside to disrupt those routes, those timing routes. And so it's going to be up to Tua and Mike McDaniel to scheme and attack in the flats, in the quick game, and to do those things, because the Patriots are going to take it away from them. I don't see any reason to change the game plan other than, hey, the game plan is going to be the same, but we might change the specific look, right? So instead of dropping the left safety down as a robber, maybe it's the middle safety, or the right safety comes in, or blah, blah, blah. Or we show three safety and, oh no, we're going to send everybody, right? And it's a zero blitz and you thought we were coming back. Like that stuff might change, but the general philosophy of the Patriots probably won't change. And the general philosophy of the Dolphins shouldn't change either, because I know you talked a lot about, hey, what did this offense look like in the first half? In the second half, especially late in the game, the Dolphins closed that game. They just gave it to Raheem Mostert, and they said, go run the damn football. And he ran the ball, and the Patriots couldn't stop it because they had, you know, 80 guys in coverage. And, like, that's probably what's going to happen again. And the Dolphins are going to run into that problem like all year. Any smart team, in my humble opinion, at least, which, you know, take it with a grain of salt, should be running that type of defense against Miami. It's make Tua take the checkdowns, make Raheem Mostert and those guys beat you. And we know as Dolphins fans that they can do that. And so that's the predicament that the Dolphins offense will put on any team. So I don't think the Patriots change a ton philosophy wise, and the Dolphins really shouldn't either. I just think there were a couple things that didn't go their way. You mentioned the Tua interception. Bad throw, man. What are we doing? Right? Like, just let's not do that. And maybe you win that game by two scores instead of one. Right. So like there's very small tweaks you can make. I think game plan wise on both sides, I think both teams probably feel pretty good where they're at.
Yeah. And I think you're right. It really does kind of, we're tempted to think, because we know how explosive this offense can be, we're tempted to think that it the end all be all is, can Tua find Tyreek, and can Tyreek get, you know, his 175 receiving yards so that he can, you know, continue his march towards 2000 yards. But ultimately the thing that is going to allow that to happen is whether or not they can run the ball effectively. And that's going to be the thing. And if they can get to the corners, and that's an area where I think the Patriots are really going to miss Matt Judon, in that ability to stop the run. And so I think the Dolphins, if they can do that, if they can establish the ground game with Mostert, I think if they can maybe, you know, if we can have a little bit of a Savon Ahmed diet and not see as much Savon Ahmed, I think that's good. I'd like a little more Jeff Wilson, perhaps, maybe a little less Savon Ahmed. Although Savon Ahmed was actually quite effective in the first game against the Patriots, actually looking back at it. So, but yes, if they can get things going on the ground, that'll open things up in the passing game as well. But I think as long as they are patient and take what the Patriots give them and don't try to force things and don't get impatient and don't try to, and, you know, and that's for Tua, that's for McDaniel as well. As long as they can avoid doing that, I think that is going to allow them to play the game they want. And, you know, we know what the Patriots want to do. The Patriots want to limit it to, you know, three possessions per team per half. That's it. That's the game that they want to play. They want to slow it down, and, you know, and that will allow them to stay in the game. So how things work on the other side of the ball, however, well, that's something that we need to talk about as well. And it's something that we're going to talk about after we talk about our friends at Caldera Lab. Because now, Dante, I don't know if you've tried out this Caldera Lab stuff, but this is, do you have a face cleansing routine, Dante? Do you have a routine, or is that like something that you just don't have time for?
Oh, man. No, I don't. I'm embarrassed, but I don't. I feel like the most I do is I have like I wash my face, but I don't have a whole routine. Like, I don't, so should I thing. Get one?
So this is the thing, Dante, you were exactly the person that Caldera Lab was designed for, because they have facial creams specifically for men. And theirs is a skincare routine that is based specifically for men who don't have time to put on your mask and to lay in their bed and not move, because, you know, and you can only eat food through a straw because you can't move your facial muscles because you got your exfoliating mask. It's nothing like that. They've got a few simple products that they've got a beard cream. They've got something to rejuvenate and get rid of your crow's feet. You know, it's simple. It's 1 minute on, wipe it off, you're done. Do it in the morning, do it at night, and that's it. Quick, easy. It's great stuff, fantastic products, and they're available at Caldera Labs. And if you go to calderalabs.com and you use the promo code DolphinsTalk, you can get 20% off of your order. So Dante, this may be an opportunity for you to begin a new facial cleansing regimen by heading over to calderalabs.com and taking advantage of that promo code DolphinsTalk, because you're gonna be rejuvenated. And the next time you sit down with some of those NFL head coaches, they're going to look at you and Dante, and they're going to go, Dante, you got a new skincare routine, buddy? Because you're looking radiant today. So calderalabs.com, promo code DolphinsTalk, 20% off your order, everybody. Take advantage of it. It's a good idea. Dante's going to go run and do it as soon as we're done doing this show, I think.
Absolutely. Are you kidding?
There we go. But let's, before we're done doing the show, we got to talk about the other side of the ball. When the Patriots have the ball, well, we got to talk. I mean, if we're going to talk about the Patriots having a lot of people want to talk about Bill Belichick is washed. And I think there are arguments to make that you could say perhaps he is. But to me, that doesn't happen because of his ability to call a game on the field. To me, the thing that made me go, I don't know if this guy still has it anymore, was in making the decision to let Jacoby Myers go away and then give Jacoby Myers the contract that he should have given to Jacoby Myers, giving that contract to Juju Smith-Schuster. Now, Juju Smith-Schuster is out, is not playing this game, and has been replaced. I think may have had his job usurped by a man by the name of Demario Douglas. And I don't know if Juju is going to get his job back, but suddenly you had this Patriots receiving core that was slow and struggled to get separation, and look no further than Devontae Parker and Mike Gesicki to be two of the primary culprits there. Now, suddenly, you've got Demario Douglas, who brings this element of speed to the offense that they had been sorely lacking. And suddenly, I think it's a little bit of a game changer for the Patriots, in the same way that that speed is a game changer for the Dolphins. And do you think that Demario Douglas and the impact that he can make is going to be able to open things up enough for the Patriots that they can do what they really want to do, which is give the ball to Ramondre Stevenson and let him control the game on the ground?
I think it's certainly possible. I mean, the Patriots remind me a lot of the Brian Flores Dolphins, and it's not just because of the names, right? It's not just because it's Devontae Parker and because it's Mike Gesicki. It's the same problem, right? Where the Dolphins just didn't have anybody for years who could like break a tackle and run 10 yards after contact. And so when you have an offensive structure like that, it makes it a lot harder because your margin for error is zero, because you have to be perfect on every play because your receivers can't separate and they're not going to break tackles and pick up extra yards. You're not just going to find yardage. You have to create all your own yards, and it makes it very hard. And when you have a quarterback like Mac Jones, who I think probably, I did not like Mac Jones coming out of school, but he's better than I thought he would be, and he's still not good. So that should tell you something. But my point more or less is that like Mac Jones as a prototype is a stand in the pocket, make quick reads, get the ball out of his hands thrower, and then occasionally he'll dump one over your head and you'll go, whoa, I didn't realize Mac Jones could throw the ball that far. And that's really a product of the offense, right? Because he's so limited, he has to get the ball out of his hands so quickly because nobody can separate downfield. The blocking up front isn't overly great on the outside. Their interior is fine, but like their outside blocker, the tackle's not great. So what does Demario Douglas do for them? He just opens things up. Like he just gives them like a little bit margin for error, right? If you put the Patriots in 3rd and 8 without Douglas, like who scares me, right? Like nobody. Maybe Hunter Henry down the seam because, you know, the Dolphins still can't cover tight ends for whatever reason. But like generally speaking, nobody really scares you there. But Douglas does, because Douglas can catch a 4-yard pass and maybe go for 12 yards, right? So it changes the math. It changes. It just makes it should scare a defense a little bit. Now, what I would say is I think right now Douglas is a little bit closer to Jakeem Grant than he is to Jaylen Waddle in the speed index. Now, I think Douglas has a lot of potential. I think he could develop into a legitimate wide receiver. Obviously, I don't think he'll be Jaylen Waddle's caliber, but I think he'd be like a good, nice little wide receiver. So, again, you have to worry about him. So he changes a lot. He really does, because they just like – nobody on the Patriots was like remotely intimidating at all, right? It was, okay, look, if Devontae Parker makes a play, the dude was probably right there and he just dunked on him. And you know what? Sometimes you got to live with those in the NFL. You do. It's a part of the business. Playing cornerback sucks. God bless those guys. I couldn't do it. It happens. But like, you know, Douglas is, oh, maybe he's going to separate. He'll catch a little thing in zone coverage and turn up field. So it changes a lot. It's a really good pick out by you. I think the Patriots need to lean into that more. And I don't know. I think the Dolphins are an interesting matchup for it.
Yeah, and I think it becomes an even more interesting matchup if the Dolphins get the pieces back that we suspect they might be getting back this week. It sounds like Xavier Howard might be back, so he might have only missed the one game with the groin injury. But it is beginning to sound more and more like Jalen Ramsey may make his Miami Dolphins debut as early as this Sunday. And if he does, Well, that certainly changes a lot of things. And we've heard Vic Fangio talk about how having both Jalen Ramsey and Xavier Howard in there at cornerback really allows him to do a lot more with the defense. You know, it's really talking about getting that secondary to just about full strength. Nick Needham is likely to play. He's now officially been activated, so I would suspect that we are going to see Nick Needham on Sunday. The only kind of outstanding question right now is whether or not the Dolphins will have Javon Holland in at safety on Sunday. Word is he is progressing through the concussion protocol. He was at practice today, practiced in a limited capacity and wore red non-contact jersey. But so there are indications that perhaps he may be able to clear concussion protocol and be ready to go. I guess we'll look and see how he's able to practice on Friday. If he's able to log a full practice on Friday, that's going to bode really, really well. If Holland can't go, it sounds like we're going to see a little bit more Brandon Jones in that Javon Holland role, and that'll change things up. But, you know, I think the Dolphins, it's interesting because the Patriots have, you know, are sort of coming into their own in terms of their receiving weapons between Devontae Parker and Kendrick Bourne. And as we've mentioned, you know, now with DeMario Douglas, and then they've got Gesicki and they've got Hunter Henry. But now the Dolphins are about to reach a point where they're going to be as healthy as they've been in the secondary. And that completely changes the game again, because now they're not having to compensate as much and sacrifice as much with what the, you know, what they're doing up front in order to, you know, they can maybe not have to try to bring, you know, 5-6 guys in at pressure at a time. They may be able to let some more of those linebackers drop back, or maybe they can bring them more frequently because you feel more confident what your cornerbacks can do. So really genuinely curious to see if we can get those guys back, and if they can come back this Sunday, how they impact how the Dolphins play defense against the Patriots.
No, that's a good point. I think everybody knows what Howard and Holland bring to the table. So I'll talk a little bit about what Ramsey could bring if he comes back. Cause I'm pretty excited about that. I would imagine most people are.
Same.
Yeah. So here's the thing with Ramsey, right? Is I think the Dolphins fan base looks at this and they go, oh, Jalen Ramsey's this shut down outside corner. He's a phenomenal player. And like, that's not untrue, but I would tell you that what makes Jalen Ramsey so important to what Vic Fangio wants to do on defense and what the Dolphins want to do on defense is that you can line him up anywhere on the defense and he's fine. And that's like a very generic thing to say, but one of the best things that he's able to do is play the run. And I know that, we're talking about pass coverage and the way the Dolphins guard receivers, and I get that, but one of the things that the Fangio defense entices teams to do when it's at its best, it's, we want you to run the football. Run it. Go ahead. We're going to rely on our defensive line. We're going to bank on our linebackers. And obviously, that has not gone remotely well this year. Teams have run it, and they've said thank you very much, and they've eaten up those yards. And so what I'm interested to see is, you know, instead of running at Kader Kohou in the slot, and look, to give Kader credit, he's feisty as hell. Dude's tough as nails, even though he's like, you know, 5'9" or whatever he is. Great. Phenomenal. He's not Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey's, you know, 6-foot-something, 200+ pounds, tackles like a baller. Like, I think that what Ramsey allows you to do on a defense is to legitimately challenge teams with formations, and when they run at you, for you not to be compromised. And that changes the math on so many different things that an offense has to think about. Because if I'm an offense, as feisty as Kader Kohou is, I'm running right at that dude every time. All right, look, he's small, but get Hunter Henry in the slot. I'll take that one-on-one matchup. If Kohou beats me a couple times, I can live with that. Jalen Ramsey's going to beat you every time, and he's going to produce TFLs instead of a 4-yard loss, and that changes the math. So look, is Ramsey going to play most of his reps outside? Yeah, absolutely. Is Ramsey going to draw Kendrick Bourne? Is he going to draw the AJ Browns of the world? Is he going to draw the Travis, but he'll also, and that's kind of my point, is he'll also draw the Travis Kelce's of the world when they go to Germany, right? And he's going to play in the slot. He's going to play that star position that Alabama kind of made famous, and that's what Ramsey did with Brandon Staley on the 2021 Los Angeles Rams. And so, or 2020 Los Angeles Rams? 2020 Los Angeles Rams. That is going to be what Ramsey gives you. He gives you the ability to guard AJ Brown 1 week, defend the run another week, and then guard Travis Kelce the next week. Now, obviously, we missed the AJ Brown game. Very unfortunate. This might be the run game because it's the Patriots. They're going to throw a lot of short passes. They're going to try and hand the ball to Ramon J. Stevenson. Jalen Ramsey is the best chess piece that you could possibly have in this specific defense. He can do everything and anything you want him to do, and he changes the math for offenses, which is just so important. If he's healthy and he's right, even if he's not the same dynamic shutdown corner that he was, his presence will make an impact, and that's so important. So we know what we get with Howard. We know what we get with Javon Holland. Jalen Ramsey changes the math, and that, again, as a scheme guy, like, that's the stuff that gets me excited. So I really hope he plays on Sunday. If not, I think he'll just be extra healthy for that game in Germany.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then that'll be a great place to reintroduce him. And then, of course, we know that special teams is going to be important in this game as well. The Dolphins had a field goal blocked in week two. Jason Sanders also missed the 55-yard field goal. It's been interesting in that the Dolphins have been largely so dominant that special teams hasn't really come in to be a big, big factor. But in a game, in a tough division game against the Patriots, a Bill Belichick coach team, it's almost surely going to come into play. I mean, look, if the Dolphins make those two field goals in the first game, the game is really not in doubt, right? I mean, if Jason Sanders hits that 55-yard field goal with, you know, however, what, 2 minutes to go in the game, I mean, you don't have to worry about that wacky lateral play at the end, you know, that where the Patriots end up being, a quarter of a yard short of the first down or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So that, special teams, does come into play. Hopefully the Dolphins have figured all of that out and that doesn't become a factor, but it's time for our hashtag one hot take. So if you're watching live on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, if you're watching on the I'm Miami Dolphin fan Facebook page, put it in your comments. What is your hashtag one hot take for this Sunday's game between the Patriots and the Dolphins? Dante, I'm going to start with you. What is your hashtag one hot take for Patriots at Dolphins this Sunday?
All right. Assuming he plays the entire game, I think David Long comes away with the trifecta. I think he gets a TFL, a sack, and an INT on Sunday. I think he's playing really good football. He's coming into his own. I think he gets all three.
Wow. I love it. That is really, really great. I love that one hot take. Let's see what we've got here in the comments here. I'm going to go over to the Twitter machine. And then, of course, if you're watching live, go ahead and put your answers in the comments and we'll read those out as well. Rob E. Digital on Twitter says his one hot take is that this game won't be as easy as it seems. Pats might squeak by the Finns if they're not careful. Ooh. I think that's fair. I think that's true.
That's very fair.
Jordan Murray says one hot take, pick six for the defense. Love it. Here's one from Mike at Dolphins Talk. Chase Claypool scores a touchdown.
That is a hot take. That's a very hot take.
That would be fantastic. Phil Piccolo says Tua throws for two touchdowns and runs for another. Nick at Wiggler 81 says Chubb gets three sacks.
Oh,
okay. Here's Eric __JF. Jason Sanders will be 3 for 3 on field goals, two of which are from 50 yards plus. Oh. Wow. That is
I don't know if that's good or bad. That implies not a lot of touchdowns in this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hot take. I'll say that. Well, speaking of not knowing whether it's good or bad, at 3KidsRBlessy says, take the Pats +9.5. This is a one possession game with our injuries.
Okay.
Interesting sure. Take. Martin Murphy, Finn fan since 86, says, I sense a hard fought home win, but we will see this just in weird different colors. It's Mike Gesicki. It's a gif of Mike Gesicki doing the gritty. So yikes. Hope we don't end up seeing that. Let's see what we've got here. See if we've gotten any new ones here in the chat. Let's see. Have we gotten any come in? Here we go. One hot take. And Bobby B says, Bobby B has a comment about my hat collection behind me. He says that I should replace the one Heat hat that I have behind me with a Dolphins hat. I got a lot of Dolphins hats already. You got to support the Miami Heat, the 1-0 Miami Heat, by the way. Daryl Woodard says Finns will force three turnovers. JM Santos says Chosen will score two touchdowns and go over 100 yards. That is another very hot take.
That is a hot one.
Will Varner on Facebook says Miami puts up 38 on the Patsies. And Matthew Noss says four sacks for Jalen Phillips. I love it. I love to hear it. I love that kind of optimism. I will give you my one hot take to close here. It is, of course, Alec Ingold receiving touchdown. Week 8 is the charm. This is the time. 8th time's the charm. This is going to be, it's going to happen this week. We're going to get that.
Eight is my lucky number, Josh.
Look at that. I got it. Yeah. So I'll have you, I'll have you put $5 on that for me at plus 650 or whatever the odds are on it. It's a good bet. And hopefully that will come good. And, and we'll get that receiving touchdown for Alec Ingold. All right. Prediction time, Dante. How do you see this game going? Dolphins going to get the win and go to 6-2, or are the Patriots coming into South Beach and, you know, rocking it, dropping two upsets in a row in the AFC East?
I think the Dolphins win this one, but I do agree with a lot of our commenters. I do think it'll be a close game. I just think divisional opponents, you know each other so well. It's so difficult to just blow out a team in your division. It just doesn't happen that much. So I've got the Dolphins 24 and the Patriots 20. I think it's a close game. I think it's one of those where the Dolphins are like very clearly the better team, almost exactly like last game, right? And like some weird things happen and the Patriots just kind of hang around and it's a one score game close. But I do think the Dolphins get it done and go to 6-2.
Good. Well, however we get to 6-2, you just want to get there. That's the most important thing. I've thought about this and I think it's going to be a kind of a knock 'em, drag 'em out kind of thing. I think there are going to be field goals. I think it's not going to be beautiful football. I think the Dolphins will have a couple of splash moments, a couple of splash plays that are going to look really nice, and they're going to put some points on the scoreboard. But I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any means. But I think, again, the key for the Dolphins to win, hold your opponent under 30 points. They're going to do that here. Give me the Dolphins winning this one. I'm going to say Dolphins, we're going to cover 34-23. Dolphins win.
Nice. Good stuff.
So there we are. That's going to wrap us up for this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. Dante, thank you very much for being part of it, for coming on and stepping in for Aaron the Brain as he's going on he's gallivanting around on vacation. So we appreciate you stopping in to do this. Tell the people where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me at Dante Colonelli on Twitter. If you need the spelling, it's at the top of the show. And you can find me on dolphinstalk.com. I do a weekly article just looking at the Tua Tagovailoa All 22, doing all that stuff. I've done it every game for 3 years. So a lot of good stuff in there. And then I'd also encourage you to check out the 3013.com. That's my day job. I'm an editor there. We do a lot of really, really good content. We hit on the Dolphins from time to time. You know, they earned it. They have a really good offense. So we hit on the Dolphins plenty over there. And then we also hit on the rest of the league. A lot of really good writers, contributors, former NFL guys, a lot of smart content. So follow me on Twitter, check me out at dolphinstalk.com, and also head over to the 3013.com for your national NFL coverage.
Fantastic. Dante, thanks again for doing this. And thanks everybody for listening. We will be back Monday with Aaron the Brain to react to Sunday's game. So we will be back, and it'll be the first time in a couple of weeks that Aaron and I, it'll be the first time that we're back together on a show since we did the Panthers recap. So it's been a little bit, but we'll be back Monday to recap the show. So until then, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!